welcome to the 25th episode, our quarter centennial. Is that the right word? I don't know. Episode of the At You Two podcast. I am joined this week by Mr. Matt McGee. Hello, sir.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm well. I was worried you had disappeared there with the pause, but I'm glad you're still awake.
I never know when you introduce me, I never know if I should just play the straight man and say, hi, Chris, or if I should like do something to try and throw you off. So just so you know, this is like a constant struggle for me to, you know, when should I try to mess Chris up, or when should I just be nice and
right? Well, this would be the one. I'm, as we mentioned before, I'm soundboardless this time, so there's no way for me to have some rebuttals with your own voice, I guess. So I guess.
Ding! Yeah. So if you're soundboardless, how are we recording this?
Oh, it's complicated, Matt. It's complicated. It's kind of like what's his name? Not Dallas, but Larry. No, not Larry. Where is Larry? The keyboard guy. Where can I think of his name?
Terry.
That's it. It's like he's not around, and so we can't play a few songs. That's sort of how it works, I guess. That's a terrible analogy. So
all right, I got you. I think I understand.
Anyways, and also that other lovely ding you heard is Sherry.
I am the human soundboard today. Sandalwood.
Yeah. You're the human beatbox channeling all four members of U2 and the At U2 community into one bundle of joy. All right.
You know what else I don't like?
That was remarkably good. You sound a lot like that guy.
Yeah, we'll just insert our own sound bites throughout the show.
Yeah, exactly. Do it live. I was going to say we I don't think we got a At U2 podcast submission other than Fabiano's last week. So we'll just last episode anyways. So we'll just thank Fabiano once again for the sweet selfie while he's listening to the podcast. And you can send those in if you want to through the hashtag At U2 podcast over on the Twitters or Instagram. Maybe I'll have to figure out how to grab those too, but now that there's
more. Fabiano sent a cool, very cool photo a couple days ago. He didn't use At U2 podcast, or he didn't use Ask At U2, but he sent a photo of himself at his desk, which, as we've already established, is like the coolest desk in U2 fandom. And it was him wearing an At U2 t-shirt taking the U2 fan survey, and it's like this ultimate U2 At U2 geek out photo, and I just loved it. It was really cool. So thanks, Fabiana.
Yeah, it's been that's what we'll get to in the roundtable, is the fan survey that's been going out, has gone out, and all three of us have completed, I believe, right? Everybody's completed their homework.
I have not I have not actually taken the survey.
You've looked at it. Co-wrote
the survey. Yeah. with all of you guys. Yeah. Not answered.
Sherry, you've completed your homework?
I've taken it 5 times already, but I haven't taken it number 6.
Is the 6th one the official one? Is that how it
yes.
works?
Oh,
okay.
Yes. And for people listening that wonder what she's talking about, it's like for the last month we have been writing this survey and editing it and adding questions and deleting. And so every time we get to a stopping point, I would email the whole staff and say, all right, go ahead and test it now and tell me what you think and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, Sherry and several others have taken it several times already, but we deleted all their results. And
best
so we start
from
scratch.
Best 3 hours of my life, Matt.
Just deleted and gone.
27 minutes to take the survey times 6. Thanks, buddy.
Just like the recordings with Rick Rubin. Just deleted, gone.
It's like when Brian Eno tried to erase Streets, you know?
Exactly. So yeah, well, I'll put the link in the show notes to the survey and the blog post on atu2.com, as well as just right to the survey. So if you want to read the important, there's a couple important items. Most notably, we don't ask, there's privacy. We don't, as far as privacy, we don't ask for your email address, your name or anything. That's very random, or not random, anonymous. And so Larry
will not hunt you down.
Exactly.
If you do not put him down as your favorite band member. You
it's
know?
Funny that we both jumped to Larry as the example of who would be have any sort of anger out of this. But Larry, if you're listening, if you're out there, please just maybe send a tweet or something just so we know you're okay.
Or take the survey.
Yeah, or take the survey. We'll know because you'll be one of the few that picks Larry as the favorite band member. No.
Oh, snap. Oh, bam, you just went there.
Teaser of the results. Hey, I've
said all
I have
of
science.
Your complaints to Chris at.
Yeah. Chris at goodstuff.fm, Chris on Twitter. I'll hear your reasons why Larry is so great. No, we'll get to that in a second. But before we do that, we have a few questions from the Ask at U2 hashtag, which you can send in if you tweet with hashtag Ask at U2. And we will do our best to answer and or make up answers to your questions. So first off, at Charoff asked, I noticed the poster for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark behind Sherry. Have any of you seen it? Did you like the music? So I'm assuming this is from maybe some selfies you posted to Sherry, not just like... spying through the window.
No, that was from the last recording when I posted on Twitter that we were about ready to record. I did my little selfie, and that was the poster that I had chosen. Yeah, I've seen it a couple times. I saw it the very first preview, which was painful. And then I saw it when it officially opened and wrote some articles on at U2 about it. It was even quoted in the New York Times about being there for the preview because, after all, it was one of the most talked about Broadway musicals for a period of time. And I know that, Matt, you've seen it.
I saw it four times. I didn't see the preview like you did, but I saw it four times. Yes, I loved it. I thought it was really good.
Did it get better with age time?
No, I wouldn't say it got better with age because I think the last time I saw it, was there a different Spider-Man? Yeah, it was Reeve Carney left. Right, and so then they had a different Spider-Man, and he was good. I just kind of preferred Reeve because Reeve is on the soundtrack recording, which I own, and you know it's in my iTunes and all that sort of stuff. So I wouldn't say it got better with time, but no, I thought the show was really good. I liked it. I'm not a Broadway snob. I don't live in the theater world, so I don't have any a ton of stuff to compare it to.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't made it down to Broadway yet to see it. And it didn't. Well, it hasn't shown in Saskatoon yet. Yeah,
it's long gone.
You're out. You know what you should. You know what you should go see if you get to New York or Las Vegas is you should go see Jersey Boys, which I did see. I actually saw the Vegas production of it, and that was fantastic as well. And it's the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and. Just, great music and really well done. So there you go.
Was that why you were serenading me with my namesake earlier?
Yes, because my wife and I and another friend and his wife, we were in Vegas 5 or 6 months ago and we went to see Jersey Boys. And then like we got home from Vegas and I went right on iTunes and I was like, I bought a bunch of their songs because I didn't know that all these cool songs were them. And so now I have a bunch of their songs on my iTunes. And one of them, of course, is Sherry, which was their first big hit.
Which everybody sang to me from kindergarten all the way through.
I have no doubt of that.
And we were required to listen to before we record every episode of the podcast, just so you know, Sherry, it's in her rider for her appearance on this podcast. So
yes, either that one or the Steve Perry version. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure, one or the other.
There's a rumor.
Perfectly.
There's a rumor. There's a rumor that that either the Bangles or the Spice Girls were working on a song called Matt about me, but it just never came to fruition. So I'm a little disappointed in this.
Wow. That's too bad. What rhymes with Matt? Anyway.
Don't even go there.
The second question came in from at Mysterious Days, wondering, where is Larry? And we've seen Edge, we've seen Bono, we've seen Adam.
Well, Bono took up
saw Bono
drums
Larry's
on
drums.
Today's Instagram account, John Bono.
He's so the ultimate dad joke guy, right? Like Bono is pretty. He does the dad joke thing, on their Twitter account quite a bit. I find on Instagram and Twitter,
so.
Yeah. but yes, still no Larry, and so we don't. We don't have any Larry sightings.
Great mystery. He's such a mysterious guy.
It makes me wonder if they've boxed him up and that he will come out kind of like the Terminator when it's time to tour again. You know, they don't need him right now, so they're keeping him safely preserved. That's why he still looks so damn young.
Yeah.
He's
in a cryogenic chamber somewhere.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through their Instagram account. And the last time you can even see him is 14 weeks ago at the three arena photo they took, and he's kind of in the background. So it could be what's that, like wax museum version of Larry, maybe even in the background there. We don't know for sure. That's actually him.
Yeah.
And then before that is the Paris shot with the Eiffel Tower in the background from 15 weeks ago. So, which again, you know, could for all intents and purposes be just a placard, a cardboard cutout of Larry. So,
well, that's on the official account.
Yeah.
If you search through, you'll find that he was right around Christmas time in a Greek restaurant around Astoria, New York. And then there was a young boy who had taken a picture of him on a train somewhere heading into Germany. But then after that, he's currently missing in action. And I'm telling you, seeing Bono behind a drum kit on Instagram is just making me really fear for Larry right now. What have they done to the man?
It's interesting that like Larry Mullen, you know, would be seen on a train, considering he's in that trailer, or he's in the movie Train Man on the Train. That's the last sort of sighting we have. So maybe there's part two. Is there? I didn't see the movie, so I don't know if it's like a sequel appropriate kind of movie or not. But
Man Lost on a Train.
Yeah. Speaking of dumb dad jokes, there's my my contribution. All right, Mysterious Days.
Before we get off track, let's get back.
Yeah, exactly. Ding. Mysterious Days asks, since Facebook Live video is gaining popularity, what impacts do you expect on Periscope and / Meerkat? This is one of those things that's, I think, just still US focused. Facebook has been doing a testing and promoting of their new live streaming service and live video streaming. And so one would expect that it, like, because, you know, YouTube did that Facebook video that we have some sound clips from that I can't play today. you know, they've been Facebook friendly, as it were. And so you'd expect that they might try it out in the future. But I don't know if we want to go broader than that in terms of technology discussion. But certainly Facebook is a fairly large player on the internet, I hear. And so them doing something will very likely cut
they
into
have a few users. Don't
yeah.
They?
Yeah. So, you know, it's very possible it'll cut into some of the usership of Periscope. And I would guess especially Meerkat in my... Just that's my worldview anyways, as far as which one gets, Periscope gets way more views than, or usage that I see than Meerkat does. But I don't know. What do you think, Matt? You're the web guy. What do you think?
I'm the web guy. I'm curious. I keep checking. I have access to Facebook video on my personal Matt McGee account, but like I hardly ever use Facebook as Matt McGee. So, you know, anybody that's like tried to friend me over the last year or two, it's probably just sitting somewhere in the Facebook ethos or whatever. And I have no idea how to find it or anything like that. So anyway, so I've never tried it via my personal, I keep checking if the @U2 account has the @U2 page has the live right. video yet. And it doesn't. And I'm curious. And I think when it does, I'll probably just want to give it a try just to see what it's like and how it works and how it compares to Periscope. But I agree with you. I think that they will at some point, you know, test it out. I mean, I think they've proven over the last, well, since the management change, I guess, they've proven that they're, you know, quite interested in trying out these new things and seeing what works and, you know, throwing things at the wall. And
yeah, they did use it for Paris. They used it for all the lead up to the HBO special.
No, that wasn't.
That
no,
that live. Wasn't.
That
live.
Was, they used. That was yeah. Facebook.
They used Facebook. No, it wasn't. That was all pre-recorded.
No. When it recorded live, then when they finished recording, it was like about 15 minutes later. What they recorded live was then available for.
Rewatching or whatever.
For exactly, Chris. So. Because I remember watching as it was happening when they were rehearsing People Have the Power. And then 15 minutes later, what I just watched live was up in their stream. And Adam did a little walk through his wardrobe live. And then 15 minutes later, it reappeared. So they were dabbling in that. They were doing Snapchat, obviously Periscope, and Meerkat. I think that they were just trying to dabble in a little bit of everything to see what had resonance within the fan community.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. I'm like, yeah. It does say U2 was live at Arc de Triomphe, like when Adam was driving. That was a funny one.
Yeah,
Adam driving around in a car, driving around Paris.
Because they would tweet and also post. You know, we go live in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
and then you'd watch.
I missed all the preview. I guess I just saw the post version of it.
Well, that's what happens when you're on the West Coast, McGee.
I guess so.
He was still sleeping or something. It was, yeah, and that's a good point. So I mean, that, and they, I'm sure they've got. Well, they definitely have, you know, some social media nerds, monkeys or whatever, sort of looking at stats and where they're getting the most interactions with fans and stuff. I'm sure, and sort of weighing what they should be doing. I'm sure if the social media monkeys at U2 would have their way, each member would have their own thing that they would just run around with Periscope and sharing stuff and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure it's a bit of trying to kind of like pulling teeth to get them to do some of that stuff sometimes. But yeah, I think, and Facebook obviously will have, you know, there's just, like Matt said, so many more users on there than there would be on Periscope or Meerkat, that if they were doing live video regularly of stuff, because I think back when they did it, then it was kind of, Facebook was still testing it out. Now it's actually a thing where it's being rolled out to regular users, not just famous rock stars who smell like sandalwood. They are, I'm sure they'll use it even more because, yeah. The just sort of drive-by or whatever you want to call it, random people stopping in to watch it is just exponentially larger opportunity for that on Facebook than Periscope or Meerkat for sure. So,
yeah, totally.
Totally. So
totally, dude.
The for the roundtable we mentioned, we're going to talk about a bit the U2 Worldwide Fan Survey. So, Matt, you've been I'm sure doing nothing else other than watching the results trickle in and storm in, reading them.
Storm in, yeah. Seriously, I just checked. Well, I was in San Jose earlier this week at a work related conference, and so a couple nights ago I had, you know, some free time, and so I dug into the results and, you know, looked at the results for like every question, and it's just so fascinating to see this stuff. And I don't know, U2 fans just absolutely, they're just fascinating. We as a group of people, I wish we could do this survey like constantly, because it's just so interesting to see all the responses and that sort of thing. And then that was 48 hours or so ago. I think that was Tuesday night or whatever that I looked at the whole thing. And then I just checked real quick right before we started taping just to look at a couple different things. I didn't, you know, really dig into it, but we're at like 1600 responses already, which is, I think, about half of what we had, you know, the entire time we did it back in 2012 when it was online for almost a month. And so, yeah, there's been great response. But, you know, one of the things that we need more females to take this survey. It's like 72% guys right now. What's the deal?
Well, we're all off looking for Larry.
Which
Sherry drops the mic.
Yeah. And podcast and done. Which is funny because we were joking earlier, but the favorite band member is actually, well, at the time anyways, you had mentioned to me was Larry was in last place, which is,
yeah, this is like when I was looking through a couple nights ago, there's like 10 or 20 things that were like, wow, that's fascinating. One of the things was the question where we ask for favorite band member, Larry comes in last. This was as of two nights ago. So Larry is in fourth place when you ask for favorite band member. And then where we say, which band member has a personality most like yours, Larry's comes in first. So it's like we all think that we're like Larry and none of us like Larry. So, you know, like, do we all hate ourselves? Or
it's all the guys who are like jealous of Larry still looking like he's 25. And that wishing that they were there when they go to claim their personality, they say, well, yeah, I'm most like Larry. Look at me.
Yeah. And, you know, back in 2012, Larry came in third, but barely. So, you know,
who was last time?
Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Adam at 7.29% and Larry at 7.71%.
Wow.
You know what? And you know what? Probably has swung.
And guess what? Don't have a favorite came in second.
Oh, that was one of the options, right? This year too?
I think it's one of the options this year too, yeah. Huh. Well, you know what's swinging the pendulum for Adam this time around is that he showed up at that party that shall not be mentioned last year. So there you go.
There you go. I Yeah, definitely. That could have a part to play in it for sure.
I think so. Yeah. So
pressing anyway, the flesh, as they say.
It's really fascinating. I loved seeing how like the new album ranks in the question about what your favorite album is. I loved seeing how the IE tour ranks in where we ask questions about tour related stuff. So it's just, yeah, it's really cool. I'm excited that we already have so many responses, and I'm excited that that we'll get a chance to start sharing results and talking about more results, you know, once we get through the end of March.
Yeah, so yeah. People still have some time. Sorry, I was just going to say, people just for the survey, you have some time. There's no huge panic to fill it out right this second, but you might as well. And it takes, what, varying reports of, I think I did it in 15. I was trying to do it quickly just because I had to get the kids to bed. 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, even up to 25 to 30 if you're sort of pondering. I think that's sort of the range, right, Matt, of
The current average is 21 minutes, and we got a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, talking back to the @U2 Twitter account, and you know, some people said, oh, that didn't take long at all, and then somebody else was saying, you know, it took me a half hour just to pick my favorite album and all this sort of stuff. So I think there's a lot of variety there.
Yeah, there's on a couple of them, there's like, you know, it was the longest one is like pick your favorite song, right? I think you trying to remember which one it was, where you list a whole bunch of stuff. And the way my trick to filling that one out quickly anyways is like, I'll just go through, find a song I like, click it, and then keep scrolling through the list until I see a song I like better, I think, and then click that one. And then, you know, rather than going through the list over and over again. But it depends. You can take as long as you want. There's no, in theory, I guess, until maybe the internet times out and says, no, that was too long to decide which one is your favorite band member. But sure, you had a...
Yeah, what'll be interesting with the current tour and how things rank, you know, figuring out how that correlates with the timing of the survey. So we've done surveys as the band came off of a recent tour. If that most recent tour, if that data is measured based on the fact that they just saw the band on that particular tour, or if we see older tours outranking it. So, you know, when we did the survey back in 2005-2006, how did the most current tour rank as opposed to all the others up at that point? Then when we did it again in 2010 and 2012, did we see a difference because people had just seen the 360 tour. So I'll be interested in seeing how the survey results come through. If we see the IE tour ranking above once again, because if you think about from a global perspective, out of all the different countries that can participate, there weren't very many countries that saw the 2015 tour. So will that particular tour rank high?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, that's I would say less than ideal just in terms of timing, is that, you know, a good portion of the world you know, hasn't seen this latest tour, you know, in person, right? It was only in Europe and North America. So, you know, if you're taking the survey in Australia, I mean, you know, how can you answer the question? How can you, you know, really answer, you know, where the IE tour fits in amongst all the tours? So, it's the timing isn't perfect. So, I think that's one thing that we'll certainly have to keep in mind as we look at the results once they're in.
But as always, if you have a complaint about it, you can always get your money back at the door. So... So you can
exactly. We will refund everyone's.
that was the one actually. The tour one was kind of hard for me to fill out because, like, I'm one of those people who didn't see the tour, but in my mind, it still ranks fairly high as like a really good tour from what I heard, you know, and obviously seeing, reading everybody's enthusiasm and seeing videos, etc. But my favorite tour prior to that probably would actually be. Like Zoo TV, actually, even though I never actually saw it, but it was the video of that kind of helped me fall in love with U2 in a big way. And so that one ranks in my mind as a sort of a really cool tour, but I didn't actually get to sit or stand or whatever in place and watch it. So, which actually brings me, we talked a little bit about VR a couple episodes ago and technology, and that'll be a fun thing if somehow we can experience some of these tours, you know, remotely.
Yeah, for sure.
VR or something, whenever that hits. But anyways.
When we get to into the April podcasts, we will have to have some time to talk about the question, U2's worst fashion mistake. We'll have to have Kelly Eddington on to talk about that one. and if you know how Kelly Eddington feels about the band's recent fashions and hairstyles, then you'll know what I'm referring to. And also, I remember, and I don't remember the exact numbers right now, but I remember when I looked at this a couple nights ago, really interesting response to the question about how many fans follow the shows live on Twitter or Meerkat or Periscope or whatever. So we'll have to have a good conversation about that as well, for sure. So.
Well, I'm curious now, I don't think we are skewing the results necessarily, but like, are you saying lots of people do, or it's a small
tons.
Percentage? Oh, really?
Way more than I expected.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like maybe 50%. Cause I think we asked this in the 2012 tour, didn't we? Let me, you guys chat while I find.
Hey, Fernand. Yeah. So,
yes,
Sherry.
We asked, when U2's on tour, do you follow set lists live online via Twitter forums, etc.? And in 2012, 58.82% said yes often, and 30.79% said yes, said just sometimes. So we didn't specify what often meant or what sometimes meant. But
right, yeah. And so I think... I think the current version of this question, there's five possible answers, not three. So it's slightly different. But anyway, yeah, it was it's interesting. Yeah, it's more than I expected it to be. So but maybe now that I look back at the 2012 results, maybe it should not have been more than I expected it to be. But anyway.
So and for folks who are maybe this is your first time around filling out this poll, are the full results published and afterwards or what do you do with the results?
Yeah, I think what we'll do is there's 100 and some odd questions, and so just to like dump all the results out at once is like kind of really a ton of work on our end and really a ton of reading and processing on the reader's end. So I think what we'll do is sort of do it in groups, like maybe a section at a time or two sections at a time or something like that, I think. Sherry, isn't that what we did last time?
Yeah, we did it in four different announcements because there are nine different topics. And in this particular survey, 112 multiple choice questions. So I think that if we spread it out over the month of April, we should be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put a link to the 2012 fan survey that you're mentioning, and yeah, you've got the fancy pop-ups and graphs and stuff, so I can see why it would take a little while to put that all together for the web. But folks can go back and once you filled out, because you don't want it to sort of maybe taint your what you'd fill out. But
right.
Yeah, you can see how things were in 2012, the state of U2. Like, for example, the best live song in 2012 was Where the Streets Have No Name, which isn't all that surprising, I guess, but just as a curiosity. So, cool. I know we need to keep things a bit briefer this episode, and ironically, maybe because of not childcare, but child-like things, Sherry, and so maybe we'll... Is it worth getting into the U2 fandom and children...
Oh,
discussion.
No. That's for when you two are not doing anything like next week. Although my heart did go a little pitter-patter knowing that we've now had Edge, Bono, and Adam all in Dublin at about the same time. As I said, if we'd only find Larry, you know, maybe they're going back to the studio to finish up a particular album or something. We might have some news soon. I don't know. Maybe this little dry period won't last as long as we thought it would.
Yeah, that's actually that's when one survey question, Matt, was the do you think U2 will be releasing an album this year, or when do you think the next U2 album?
I forget
what
the
word
when
it is, but yeah. So that'll be a curious item to discuss. And yeah, and it was interesting to see them all in Dublin. It's kind of like you don't. you know, you don't think of them as necessarily, you know, that they don't hang out, you know, all four of them all together all the time when they're not on tour or recording an album. They presumably do have some of their own lives to live. But yeah, it is a interesting occasion that they're all in.
The most promising thing to me, by the way, we all sound like stalkers when we talk about this, don't we? Like, he's been spotted in Dublin. You know, it's like, wow, come on.
On Instagram.
I know, right? But I just feel like we just need to step back for a second and take a deep breath. But anyway, the most promising thing, though,
we're just not telling you.
The most promising thing is when either Edge or Adam are in Dublin, because Edge has a home and, you know, is often seen in Los Angeles, Malibu, and Adam's wife, I believe, is still living in Brazil, or I believe they certainly must have a home there. Or no, she's in London, isn't she? I think she lives in London.
Let me check.
I can't remember.
Adam's
Fernanda.
Book.
I saw Fernanda in the chat earlier. I don't know if she's still there. But anyway, Edge and Adam seem to me to be the two that have the most potential to be away from Dublin. So when they are in Dublin, it's the most promising to me. And yes, Fernanda said that Adam's wife lives in London. So there we go. Thanks, Fernanda.
There you go. I'm just still mesmerized by this picture of Bono with the In-N-Out burger bag over his face. But anyways,
yeah, that was fantastic.
That was not a promising view of a new album coming, I guess, but who knows? Maybe it inspires him to write. It's good burgers. So.
At least
or maybe they were
so tears in his eyes.
Oh gosh. maybe they were so hard at work in the studio that they couldn't go to a fancy restaurant. They had to order out fast food.
This could be true. Is there an In-N-Out burger in
there? You go.
In Ireland, in Dublin? I guess it could.
He would have been in Los Angeles or
yeah.
I think there's Texas, California, Arizona.
Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah.
Welcome to the In-N-Out podcast, where we talk about burgers.
Double-double animal style.
There you go. Now you're making me hungry, even though I just had lunch. All right. Well, before we get too distracted by burgers and such things, why don't we wrap up the show? Matt, where can folks find you on the internets if they're wanting to stalk you?
They can find me stalking band members and poring over every Instagram photo and Facebook post. I'm at Matt McGee on Twitter. That's the best place to find me.
And not Facebook. And Sherry, how about you?
At U2ComSherry on Twitter.
All right. And I'm iChris on Twitter. And the At U2 crew tweets out, well, not the whole crew. The whole crew doesn't get keys. I don't have keys, so not everybody, at least not me anyway. They have never given me the keys. At U2 on Twitter, ATU2 on Twitter. And, of course, like I mentioned earlier, the hashtag AskAtU2 is how you can submit questions to the show. If you're not aware, we're recording sort of every other week right now during a sort of drier period, we're calling this, I guess, with U2, where they're not quite as busy. And so we record live either Wednesday night or Thursday, depending on who's available to talk. And so we'll be back again in a couple weeks recording live, which you can listen at goodstuff.fm/live. And if you follow the At U2 Twitter account, we'll, of course, tweet out when we're going live for that if you want to listen and join us in the chat room. Join other folks like Fernanda and who else was in there? Anyways, U2 fan. Anyways, other folks are in there. And also on Facebook. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/ATU2com is where you can follow us there. Until next time, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.